I am thankful that this rain is not snow. Except for Becky. It's damp enough as it is. We don't need to have to shovel it too. Here not too long ago, there was a study that was published by the National Academy of Sciences. And in their research, whether they knowingly did it or not, they actually supported the idea that multiple groups had independent origins. This supports actually the confusion of the languages that happened during the time of the building of the Tower of Babel. These researchers, they analyzed over 2,000 worldwide languages and 246 global people groups. And this study matched up almost perfectly with the dispersal of different groups of people from the Tower of Babel. It's amazing how the more advanced we get into sciences, the more we realize the Bible was right. But tonight I want us to look at just what happened at Babel. In his book, In the Beginning, author Justin Rogers describes three firsts that are associated with the Tower of Babel in Genesis chapter 11 and the first nine verses. In verse 1 of chapter 11, the Bible, as well as other ancient records, attest that there was one language that was possessed by man. Now man, since his creation, has had the ability to communicate. In the beginning, he communicated with God, and then he communicated with his wife. There was a language. It wasn't no guttural language. It was no grunts. It was a spoken language. And verse 1 says, "Now the whole earth was of one language and of one speech." Now the account of the tower occurred earlier than some of the incidents that we read in the preceding chapter, in chapter 10. Because in chapter 10, we see the descendants of Ham and Shem and Japheth. And we find them there. This was after the dispersion and where they scattered to. In chapter 10 and verse 5, it says, "From these were the isles of the Gentiles divided in their lands, every one after his tongue, after their families, and in their nations." In verse 20, it says, "These were the sons of Ham, according to their families and their languages and their lands and in their nations." In verse 31, we see the family of Shem. That's pretty much the same thing. In verse 32, it says, "These were the families of Noah, according to their generations and their nations. And from these, nations were divided on earth after the flood." But I want us to note verse 25, because this is important. "To Eber were born two sons. The name of one was Peleg, for in his days the earth was divided, and his brother's name was Joktan." Peleg refers to the events that lead up to the Tower of Babel. One of his descendants was Nimrod. And it was Nimrod who was the mighty man, who was a man of valor and a man who ruled the roost, so to speak. The second first that we find in the Tower of Babel was the attempt to build a city. Genesis 11 in verses 2 and 4, "And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar. And they dwelt there. And then they said to one another, 'Come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly.' They had brick for stone and they had asphalt for mortar. And they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heaven. And let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered across the face of the whole earth. Now, there's nothing wrong with building cities. As a matter of fact, God commanded Israel in Numbers chapter 32 and verse 24 to go and build cities. But what made the building of Babel sinful was the timing. Sometimes people can do the right thing, but at the wrong time. For instance, there's nothing wrong with going fishing. Nothing wrong at all. But there is something wrong if you're going to go fishing at the expense of attending worship services. While it is a fun thing to do and a good and hearty thing to do, at the wrong time, it is not the right thing to do. God commanded mankind in Genesis 1 verse 28 to be fruitful and to multiply and to fill the earth. In Genesis 9 and verse 1, it says that God blessed them and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fishes of the sea and the birds of the air and every creature, every living thing that moves on the earth. And so God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Because they refused to obey God, in verses 8 and 9 of Genesis 11, God said, let the Lord scatter them abroad from there over the face of the earth. And they ceased building their city. Therefore, its name is called Babel because the Lord confused the language of all the earth. And from there, the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of the earth. This was also the first attempt to build a skyscraper. Probably a few of us here have seen the movie, The Bible, that goes all the way from the creation to Abraham and the sacrifice of Isaac. And I can remember and picture in there, they're building this Tower of Babel. And people in ancient times believed that at a higher elevation, you can become closer to the gods that you worship. Archaeologists in this area, which is now Iraq, have discovered a large number of structures. They call them ziggurats. And these were constructed with rows of stairs so that people could climb to the top to be closer to their gods and to offer their worship. Now, these are the three things that we find in the Tower of Babel, the three firsts. But what was the reason for building a city? Why did someone want to do that? Genesis 11:4 says that they did that to make a name for themselves. This morning we read from Proverbs 22 and verse 1, and it applies here. A good name is to be chosen rather than great riches, loving favor than silver and gold. We have a lot of folks that say, I want to make a name for myself. But is there anything wrong with making a name for yourself? The Bible considers it to be one that is self-centered and selfish. The people here and Babel wanted the attention drawn on themselves. Their purpose wasn't to help mankind, but for everyone to sit there and look and see how great these people were. This morning we use Luke chapter 12 in the parable of the rich man. And his problem was that everything, as far as his focal point was to himself. And he spoke unto them a parable, saying, starting in verse 16, the ground of the certain man brought forth plentifully. And he thought to himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to store my fruits. And then he said, this I will do. I will tear down my old barns, and I will build greater ones. And there I will store all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have a lot of goods laid up for many years. Take it easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. But then God said to him, you fool, this night thy soul shall be required of you. Then whose shall those things be which you have provided? So he that lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Jesus taught a little bit different in Mark 10, verse 45. And he says here, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. You see, it would have been more beneficial for the people of the tower that were building the city of Babel and the tower to use their energies to help their fellow man. You know, when God told Noah to go, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth, if they would have obeyed the command at that time, it's highly feasible that today everybody across this world will be speaking the same language. Now, it might be a little bit different. It might be like somebody from New Jersey coming down here and trying to talk to us Southern folk, where we'd have to get used to use guys and these kind of things. And they'd have to get used to the y'alls. But we would be able to communicate without having to take a language course. But man would not obey God. And I can understand wanting to stick close to family. I can understand the bond that you have and you don't want to part. That's like we are when we're around our children and our grandchildren who are maybe don't live close by and they spend time with us and we don't really want them to leave. But here the people of Babel were self-centered. And oftentimes self-centered people believe that their rules and their opinions are the best. Paul in Romans 2 in verses 8 and 9, he says, but unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath and tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that does evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentile. And Paul also wrote in Philippians 2 in verses 3 and 4, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Now, Paul's not telling us to be busybodies, but he's telling us to look after and take care of one another. And I'm sure that the folks in the Tower of Babel, they didn't want to separate themselves because they didn't want to be apart, but then they started looking after themselves only. They didn't want to help others. They wanted to help themselves. In Psalms 10 and verse 4, it says, the wicked in his proud countenance does not seek God. God is in none of his thoughts. Certainly God was not in the thoughts of those who were constructing Babel. They were only concerned was for themselves. Now, I don't know, the book doesn't say, but in the movie, the Tower of Babel, they were standing up on the top of it and they were looking up the heavens and the clouds, and I'm assuming it was Nimrod because he had a bow and arrow that shot an arrow up into the air. And then the thunder hit, struck, and the people were confused in their language. It led to their ruin. Now, what used to be a close family couldn't even communicate with one another. And they were scattered abroad. Proverbs 16, verse 18 reminds us that pride goes before destruction and a mighty spirit before a fall. Although the Tower of Babel no longer exists, the behavior of its builders continue to exist today. Society has become too much of me and not enough of us. We look after more of our own interests than the interest of others. The other day when I was in the grocery store, there was an elderly lady that was standing in front of me, and she had one item. And she looked at me and she says, "Would you like to go first? I've only got one item." And I was dumbstruck, because typically, if I've got a cart and somebody's behind me with one item, I'll let them go in front. But no, she offered for me to go ahead of her. And I told her, no, that was fine, that she can go right ahead, that she's not going to take up any more of my time than it would to check out one item. There was an individual that was looking after someone else. I didn't have a lot of stuff in the cart, but it certainly took a little bit longer to ring me up than the others. Maybe she just liked being out among people. Many today think that they are doing what God wants. But the problem is that they are doing it their way and not God's way. You know, God gave Noah a command, just as he gave Adam a command to go forth and be fruitful and multiply. Well, God has given us a command also. And he didn't exactly tell us exactly how we were to fulfill that command, but he told us to go into all the earth and to preach and share the gospel and to teach one another. Now, we know we are given certain talents, and there may be some who just could not sit there and conduct a Bible study, but you are a walking example of Christianity. And you are doing your part. But to ignore the command is a sin. And God will not forget that. If we hold everything in within our own selves and not share it with others, we have a tendency and probably will pay the price for it later. There are many out there, and I know Barney has pointed this out many times. He has shown people, and they were actually reading God's Word, but they can't hear it, they can't see it, even though they are reading it, because they have an easier and a better way. You know, maybe the descendants of Noah were fearful of being separated from each other. Maybe the love that they had for one another was so great they just couldn't bear being apart. Maybe they didn't want to leave family and strike out on their own. You know, not knowing what lies on the other side of the hill sometimes can be very fearful. You know, back in the Civil War, the Northerners called the Battle of Antietam, the Southerners called the Battle of Sharpsburg. And the Union soldiers were going up through the cornfield. The Confederate forces were on the other side, and as soon as the heads popped up over the hill, they were being dropped like flies. They didn't know exactly how close they were. You know, going over a hill at that point and not knowing what's on the other side can be very fearful. But my problem with the descendants of Noah, even with that fear, is where were their trust in God? He got them through a global flood. It doesn't say they lost any weight. They were fed. They weren't starving. They saved the creatures of the earth so that they also could be fruitful and multiply. At least the animals obeyed God. One of the lessons they learned the hard way was that you cannot ignore God's commands. But man does. Man does ignore God's commands. But the one thing that cannot be ignored is the consequences. What God says, He does. And no one in heaven or on earth can change what God has commanded. To ensure a place in heaven, God gave us His plan of salvation. That plan of salvation has not changed in the 2,000 some odd years that it was put into place. Malachi 3:6, God says, I am the Lord, I change not. He's going to give each and every person on the face of this earth a lifetime of an opportunity to ensure a place in heaven. God doesn't want any to perish, but wants all to come to repentance. If you're not a Christian tonight, we want to give you that opportunity to obey the gospel. For that repentance and that confession that is so necessary to get to the point that you are accepted by God and culminated by the baptism, the washing of your sins. What God has commanded, man cannot change. You cannot change not getting wet. But it's not to cleanse a dirty body, but a good conscience. Maybe you are a child of God, and maybe you have not been serving God as you should. Maybe you've been building your own Babel. Don't let God come to you in a way that you would not be accepted. Obey His commands. If you have a rift between you and God and you want to repair that rift, we want to give you that opportunity. If it needs to be done in a public way, we want to give you that opportunity. If it's something private, please don't hesitate and go in private prayer to God and ask for forgiveness. If there's any way that we can help anyone this evening, won't you come as together we stand and we sing.